Well, we appreciate you worshiping together in spirit and in truth, and I appreciate our staff very much. Appreciate Scott looking out for me, because many of you know that I have loves. One of my loves is coffee, and some of you might know that I have some fears. Fear is hurricanes. I've grown up in Florida, been through many hurricanes. God has always been faithful, provided, protected, but I just don't like them. And I don't know about you, but I just don't like them. So, and I shared with you before that on my phone, I have 9 weather apps. My youngest son said, if Dad, you put one more weather app on your phone, I'm taking your phone away and you will not have any phone privileges whatsoever. So my one good friend that lives in the panhandle of Florida, he sent me a new weather app that was, you know, colorful and the latest and the greatest and so forth and so on. So what did I do? I installed it, but I uninstalled one of the other ones that I don't use so I could keep within the boundaries of what my young son told me. So you pray for me. But this is opportunity for all of us as brothers and sisters in the Lord to lean in, to press in to our Heavenly Father and to trust Him, to trust Him. And He wants us to do that. The Lord says in Romans 8:28, we know it well, right? And God causes all things. So that's the good things, the bad things, and yes, to quote a movie, the ugly things, the good, bad, and ugly things, all things work together for the good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Paul the apostle said, I want to know the power of the Lord's resurrection. And I don't know about you, but as a follower of Jesus, I want to know the power of Christ's resurrection in my life. Don't you? But Paul also said, I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings. Oh, boy, that's... Did Paul, you have to go there? Did you really have to go? The fellowship of His sufferings. How did Jesus suffer? He suffered immensely for you and for me out of a heart full of love so that we could be made right with God. And being right with God to experience some of the character building traits as a master artist chips away at those imperfections to mold and shape us to be more like Jesus. So God allows, as we've learned together in the book of James, God has allowed us to experience various trials and temptations and troubles and tribulations so we can count it all joy. And we have started this new series called True Faith at Work in the 5 chapters of the letter that was penned by James, and encourage you to read it, pray through it together. Today, if we would look at our verses from verses 19 to 27, I would entitle it Trust and Obey. It's more than a one-time act. It's a lifestyle. It really is. It's not one and done. One and done. You know, when I was a young man who I accepted the Lord when I was 8 years old, so cool. I got all excited. My pastor says, well, if you're excited about it, you got to go tell somebody. So I had a neighbor friend down the street, about 6 houses down, named Kevin, still remember him. And he was probably 9 years old. I told him about Jesus. And he said, well, I want to know Jesus. I said, okay, well, this is what I did. This is what you got to do. And that's what he did. He prayed. I got so excited. I left him there with my bike at his house. And I ran down to my mother and said, hey, Kevin just prayed to receive Jesus. Isn't that great? That was good news. A little bit later on, pastor said, well, if you're excited about the Lord, you know, you got to invite people to church. So go out in your neighborhood. I was probably maybe 10 or 11 or so. I went down my neighborhood, knocked on doors, and I would invite people to church. I remember one time I came to this door and the lady came and she goes, oh, thank you, young man, for inviting me to church, but I'm done. I went once and I'm all done. I'm done. I'm all done. Don't have to do it anymore. I'm done. One and done. As a follower of Jesus, it's not one and done. It's a lifetime. It's a commitment. Trust and obey is more than a one-time act. I begin there, but it's communing with the Heavenly Father. It's developing that relationship with the Heavenly Father. It's walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, having the mind of Christ as you go throughout your day. You mean I can have the mind of Christ when I'm standing in the grocery line? Absolutely. You mean I can have the mind of Christ when I'm driving through traffic? Absolutely. You mean I can have the mind of Christ when I'm trying to let my thumbs control my life, when I'm texting on the phone? Absolutely. You can have the mind of Christ when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So, James is writing this letter. It's a practical letter. It's called the Proverbs of the New Testament by some, and we've been jumping in together. We are to consider it nothing but joy when we face various trials and tribulations. And we learned last week from Pastor Christian that, you know, these trials are the same word for temptations. And temptations come at us all the time, but it's not from God. It is from the sinful nature that's within us. Each of us have been born, every human being that's been born, they are born in the likeness and the image of God Almighty. But because man has fallen, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because of that, we are born in a sinful nature. It's the cancer of the soul, but I got good news for you. Jesus came to rescue you and to set you free from a bondage that's enchained in sin and give you life everlasting in Him. And He has removed the cancer of the soul and replaced it with communion with Himself, the Savior. That's good news. And we should shout it to the rooftops. We should maybe risk going next door to our neighbors and say, hey, let me tell you what Jesus means to me, if the Holy Spirit leads you in that step. So, this morning we're going to look at chapter 1, verses 19 through 27, being a doer of God's Word. Now, we might already know about it. We've probably heard it before, so we're ready to check out. Don't check out. Check in. And so let's discover what the scriptures say together this morning. Beginning with verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. I invite you to pray with me. Father, we thank you for this time that we can be together as your family, the family of God, the bride of Christ. And Lord, we pray by the power of your Spirit that you will work in these moments to continue to chip away all those things that grieve you. And Father, that you will mold and shape us by touching us supernaturally, forming us, continuing that good work that you've begun in us, molding us, making us more like your Son Jesus, that we will give you glory and honor and praise. Thank you so much for loving us so much that you removed our sin as far as the east is from the west, and you remember it no more. And you've given us life everlasting. May we celebrate the joy of that. Help us in this day, this hour, this week, to walk in a manner worthy of being called child of God, for that is what we are. And Lord, help us to remember that. And may we emulate the fruit of the Spirit as we go throughout this week, even as we face storms, even as we face trials, even as we face temptation, may we shine for you. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Here we have three phrases that James just kind of speaks out. My dear brothers and sisters, he's talking to believers, he's talking to the church, he's talking to these Jewish believers that have been spread about, and he says, everyone should be quick to hear, quick to listen, quick, fast. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Be quick to listen. Quick to listen. So often in our busyness of life, and someone is talking to us, are we truly listening to them? Usually we're not, if we're honest. We're trying to formulate and think about how we're going to respond to whatever they're saying. Maybe they said a few words to us and we're trying to think about how am I going to respond to this? Or we could be like you've seen that commercial on TV, I'm sure, where the husband is, it's football Saturday and he's excited about football and he's thrilled and he's just glued to football and the wife has something important to say and she says some, honey, 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 and he doesn't hear a word. Dear, 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 doesn't hear a word. She comes over and, you know, touches him, and he just kind of pushes her aside. Wait a minute, the game's on. And she stands in front, and he's looking around, you know. He has no idea. And she might be saying, the house is on fire. And he's like, I got to see the game. Being a good listener. Quick to listen. A good listener. We need to begin there as a child of God. I'm trusting, I'm obeying. Now the Holy Spirit comes inside of me as a follower of Jesus and begins cultivating, begins as a still small voice whispering in my ear to become more like Jesus. I need to cultivate that listening ear. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. If Jesus were to talk to you, would you know it? Would you know it? If you're part of the flock and you're in fellowship with him, abiding in the vine, you would know it. You would know his voice. And so we need to listen. We need to listen. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Comparing that a little bit later in verses 22 through 24, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. There's a connection with hearing God speak and obeying. Listening is one aspect of it, but it leads me into doing God's word. It leads me into doing God's word. It leads me on that path of obedience. A quick listener. Are you quick in listening? Maybe to people in your life, but are you quick in listening to the Spirit of God when he speaks to you? God, forgive us of trying to make our time with you quick, in a sense. I think about that picture of a person coming to Jesus and they want to meet with the Lord. And the Lord kind of says, yeah, let's have coffee together. And they go to the coffee shop and Jesus and the individual is there and they're pouring over God's word together, enjoying coffee. And they're there at the beginning of the opening of the store and they're still there by the close of the store. But by the first month, that no longer is the practice. The individual is there at the beginning and by lunchtime, he's got stuff to do. Excuse me, Jesus, I got stuff to do. About 2 months or 3 months in, that isn't the practice. I'm still meeting with Jesus in the morning, but maybe just for an hour. A year goes by, or 2 years go by, and it's time with Jesus at the coffee shop has been reduced to about 5 minutes. And after about 4 years, Jesus is there at the coffee shop waiting. And the individual doesn't show up. We need to practice cultivating our relationship with the Lord by meeting with him daily, pouring into his word, and allow his spirit to work in our lives in a beautiful way. A good place to start is in the Psalms. Read a psalm. Think about, well, what psalm could I read? Well, today is the 6th, October 6th, so I'll turn to Psalm 6 and read that today. And pray over that today. And think about that today. And maybe the practice, as we've talked it on Wednesday nights, add 30 to it and go to Psalm 36. Add 30 to it, go to Psalm 66. Add 30 to it, go to Psalm 96. That's a good psalm. Add 30 to it, go to 126. Pour over the scripture. Take time to do that. Well, you say, you don't understand my schedule. I've got to be at work at such and such. Well, get up, as my music theory teacher used to say at Nyack College, Dr. Shang, get up 15 minutes earlier so you're not late, so you can meet with God, or get up a half hour earlier. Ask the Lord to help you. Begin to cultivate that listening ear. I also need to be, he says there, I'm quick to hear, I'm a good listener, but I need to be a slow speaker. No, slow speak, slow to speak. When I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, I shouldn't interrupt him. But God, I shouldn't interrupt him. I need to let him speak fully. I shouldn't interrupt him. But God, I should be slow to speak. Slow to speak. I'm patient, I'm thoughtful, and I'm slow to speak. Being a doer of God's word means that I am slow to speak, a patient, thoughtful listener. Verse 19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak. slow to speak, slow to anger. Have you ever been in a conversation with a person and you want to say a word to them, but you can't get a word in edgewise? And then you walk away and you say in the flesh, "Oh, I wish that person would have just shut up so I could have said 1 minute. Yeah, I said that word, right?" Slow to speak. What's my attitude? My attitude wasn't being a good listener. My attitude was, I want my point of view to be addressed and be promoted because I'm something. They're not. No. James goes on and he tells these believers, listen, he says, you got to be slow to speak. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. Verse 21. Put away all filthiness, rampant wickedness. Another version says, get rid of everything evil in your lives, every kind of wrong you do. Be humble and accept God's teaching that is planted in your hearts. This teaching can save you. From the easy version, it says, so stop doing disgusting things. Stay away from the wicked things that are all around you. God has put his message deep inside you, and it can save you. So be careful to accept that message. Oh, that we would remember if we grew up in that culture of the little song that says, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. Another translation says, so put out of your life, get rid of, lay aside every evil thing, moral filth, defilement, and every kind of wrong, excessive evil. Then in gentleness, humility, accept, welcome God's teaching, his word that is planted in your hearts, which can save you, your souls, referring to the whole person. And then Eugene Peterson, he puts Romans in this passage and comparing it, and he says this in Romans 7:20. He says, I need something more, for if I know the law but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. What is Eugene saying? He's saying, well, James is saying, get rid of all of it. Get rid of all that filthiness. Get rid of all that. And Eugene says, Paul says in Romans, but I can't. I'm trying to do it, but I can't. It's right there. How then are we to put it away? Put it away. Those words there in James, put away and receive. It means I'm going to claim the promises of God's word that I, as a believer, listen, O child of God. Don't use it as an excuse. I, as a believer, I need to recognize that the sinful nature within me has been crucified, put to death. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. No longer I that lives in me, but Christ lives in me. I have the resurrection power, the resurrection life to live within me, to allow me the courage, the bravery to say yes to God, yes to righteousness, no to sin, no to temptation, and pass the test and give him glory and honor. So therefore, I can put it away. I can put it away, all the filthiness and rampant wickedness. Why? Because I'm rendering it dead, and then I'm allowing the Spirit of God to give me the Word of God. I'm receiving the Word as a gift. And I have to spend time in the Word to receive the Word. Because it's taking up residency in my soul. It's being implanted in my heart. And that as I cultivate that relationship with the Spirit of God, the living water will flow abundantly in my life, and I'll begin to grow spiritually and produce fruit of righteousness. That's God's desire for all of us, to be like Jesus. So I have to be quick to hear and slow to speak. But we see there's something else James is saying. He's saying to be a doer of God's word, not only am I quick to hear and slow to speak, but I am slow to become angry. Slow to become angry. I'm slow to anger. I'm a kind and compassionate listener. Verse 20 speaks about this. Verse 19 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." Verse 20 says, "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We look around our world today, we hear what's on television, or we read our phones, or whatever we get our news from, and we find things going on in our world, and it causes us to become frustrated, causes us to lose peace, causes us maybe to lose perspective, causes us to become angry. And here James says, slow to anger. In an argument, one commentator says this, in an argument, of course, the one who is listening rather than lambasting is the one who is slow to anger. Anger fails to yield the righteous life that God desires. The goal of this letter is committed to this. God wants us to be people of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. It's ugly business to be a peacemaker. It's hard at times to be a peacemaker. But God wants you to be filled with the Spirit in such a way that your character in meekness and gentleness and lowliness exhibits peace. Exhibits peace, and in the toughest of times. He goes on and says, being a doer of God's word, it means that really, in verse 24 and 25, as I look at those verses, I see that it reminds me of who I am in Christ. I need to remember who I am in Jesus Christ as a follower. I need to remember that as I go through life. Hey, I'm no longer a citizen of the kingdom of darkness. I've been rescued. I'm now a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of light. And God calls me his kid. Wow! I've been adopted as his. I belong to Jesus. Death has no mastery over me. I have new life. Sin has no mastery over me. I've been set free. I can do what the Lord wants because I am his and he is mine. And that allows me to be a doer of the word. Verse 24 and 25 says, for he gazes, this person that is supposed to be included following the Lord. He goes, this person, he gazes at himself, then goes out and immediately forgets what sort of person he was. Oh, that we would not forget that we belong to Jesus. But the one who peers into the perfect law of liberty, the Word of God, fixes his attention there. I get in the Word of God and I discover how beautiful the Savior is. And I'm able to cultivate that listening ear. I heard it once said that if you want to impress other people how smart you are, don't talk. And they'll think you're really intelligent. I think we need sometimes not to talk and listen to the Spirit of God cultivate in us his character and his likeness. So then when we do talk, we say words of wisdom that produce life and hope for others as they hear, because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. I need to remember who I am in Christ. Listen, you are a child of God. John 1:12 speaks of that. You have been bought with a price. You are his. You're a royal priesthood. God is developing you a holy nation. You're part of the family of God, the bride of Christ, and he's making you beautiful. The Contemporary English Version says of verse 25, you must never stop looking at the perfect law that sets you free. God will bless you in everything you do if you listen and obey and don't just hear and forget. That law of liberty means I continue in it. I'm soaking it up as a sponge. I'm allowing God's word to speak to me afresh. What flows out of that is three things, and I invented a word. My identity in Christ, or my identity is in Christ, and out of that, obedience flows. My instructions from Christ, when I receive his word to my heart, I'm able to please him because I love him. I want him to be pleased, and so I will gladly obey him. My intimacy with Christ, the more that I spend time with the Lord, the more eager I want to do his will. Even if it's against the norm of the day, I want to accomplish God's will more than anything else because I've spent time with him and him alone. And an overflow of that communion with the Lord is obedience. I don't have to try to work it up. I don't have to try to impress other people. I just do it because I'm in step with the Spirit of God working in me and through me. There's some good news here. I get to receive then the blessing of God. Do you know that God wants to bless you? Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth, who formed you in his likeness, in his image, who's removed your sin as far as the east is from the west, he wants to bless you. How can I be blessed by Almighty God? Well, be a doer of God's word. It means that God will bless you. God will bless me as I obey, him. Verse 25 says, but you must never stop looking at the perfect law, the word that sets you free. God will bless you in everything you do if you listen and obey. God will bless you in everything you do if you listen and obey. And don't just hear and forget. And you think, sometimes we think, or maybe I think this way, oh, God's going to bless me in everything I do. That means I get to drive a Cadillac, man. I'm going to have $1 million in the bank, man. I'm going to wear the finest threads, man. I'm going to be somebody, and everybody's going to look at me. Ooh, no. God's blessings are higher more significant, supernatural, stupendous. God's blessings poured out upon your life is much more than whatever you can think or imagine. And he wants to do that for you. But you have to let go of all filthiness, count it dead. And you might say, Lord, I'm just addicted to it. Well, Father, I pray that you remove that addiction, that desire for evil, for sin. Render it dead in my life, I pray. Lord, I thank you that you've replaced it with your Spirit, that have given me new life and new hope. Help me to listen to your Holy Spirit now as I walk toward you. Give me a desire for your holy word, that I'll spend time with you, Lord, every moment of every day, because I'm cultivating that relationship and we can rejoice for all eternity. Help me, Lord. So be it. God wants to bless you as you obey him. Wow, I get to please. Remember the first time you obeyed your parents, maybe, and you just did it out of love for them. You didn't do it because you're afraid you're going to get beaten. But you did it out of love, and they were so pleased that they kind of blessed you and rewarded you. God wants to bless you for obedience. Another picture here of serving, being a doer of God's word in verses 26 and 27 really speaks about speech and service. Being a doer of God's word means that I reflect Christ in my speech, in my service, in my conversations, and in my conduct, in my attitudes, and in my actions. 26 and 27 says, if you think you are being religious but can't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself and you don't believe it. Okay? You're fooling yourself. And everything you do is useless. Religion that pleases God the Father must be pure and spotless. You must help needy orphans and widows and not let this world make you evil. So James was telling the church, listen, there was a problem in their day that orphans and widows were neglected and left alone, and they were either having to beg, become beggars, or they would have to sell themselves to slavery. And James says, listen, true ministry, true service, true actions of being like Jesus means you help needy orphans and widows. And you don't allow this world to make you evil. You must be pure and spotless in your intentions. If you think you're religious, you can't control your tongue, you're fooling yourselves. When you're being squeezed by this world, you know, it's always an interesting statement, isn't it? When the world gives you lemons, you're to make lemonade, right? You're being squeezed. When you're being squeezed by this world, how can I tell I'm being squeezed? Well, when your lid blows off and you become angry and frustrated, and what comes out of you? What comes out of you? Maybe nothing. Maybe you just freeze up and don't say a word, but your mind is sure ratcheting up and saying some stuff. What's going on there? When the world squeezes you, God's desire for you is that you pour out the fruit of the Holy Spirit. More love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more gentleness, meekness, more faithfulness, more self-control. And it begins by your conversation. It really does. It begins by what you say. And in fact, so much so, If you can't get that under control, everything else is useless. Right? I was a little boy, about 8 years old, accepted Jesus, as I told you about. I got excited about the Lord. But I also, a little bit later on in life, around 11 years old, I became a really good hypocrite. Sunday, man, I was the golden child of church. But Monday through Saturday, I was me, myself, and I, mean kid. I had a tongue that could make any sailor embarrassed. My parents didn't know about it, so I thought. But I did. I was rude to my parents. I talked back to my parents. I cussed. And it was awful. It really was. And it was so bad, my neighbor, I would play with her son. He was my best childhood friend at the time. She came and said to me, "You can't play with my children anymore until you straighten up your mouth." And I said, "What's wrong with my mouth?" And she said, "I've heard you say this. I've seen you do this. And until you get your act together, you no longer can be my son's friend." Can't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself, and everything you do is useless. What if we took that to heart? Everything my little thumbs put on. Lord, help us. What did I do? Well, I knew the Lord, but I knew I had an issue, big issue. It came to a head at daycare. My mom ran a private school and daycare, and there were forts, and the privileged older kids got to be in the forts. And one day we were just being radically misbehaving. And the owner said, "No more forts." And I got angry. And my mom says, "No more forts." She was the director and told us, "You can no longer be in the forts. You've got to go on the regular playground with the regular kids." I was mad and I said, "Well, Miss and so can go blankety blank, 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 blank." My mother heard that. She loved Jesus. She was shocked. What do you think she did? Some of you might say, "Oh, I know what she should." She took her hand and just slapped me right across his face. No, she didn't do that. "Oh, I know what she did. She just pointed her finger at me and grabbed my ear." No, she didn't do that. She didn't say a word. Not one word. She just turned away, walked away. In that moment, I broke her heart. When you, O child of God, spew out of your mouth filthiness, whatever it may be, gossip, slander, malice, selfish opinion, that's not becoming of a child of God, you break the Father's heart. And God says, "I've got so much more for you than that. I want to bless you. I want to bless you. All you have to do is trust and obey." So what is the Lord saying to us today from His Word, and how will we respond to Him? Jesus desires for us to walk with Him in this world. Many of us have a heavy week, we think, but how will Jesus be honored and glorified this week? Through our conversation, through our listening, through our actions. We will be tempted to become angry. How will we respond? Will we be peaceful agents for the Lord Jesus in those moments? Maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart and saying, hey, I need to get back in that wonderful coffee time with Christ and get in His Word and soak in His Scriptures and discover again what He has for me. There is, I believe, opportunity for us to come before the Lord, to lay all our burdens down, to lay all our cares down, to lay all our worries down, to lay all our fears down, to confess all our sin and allow His Spirit to wash it all away, to create in us a clean heart, and to make us right before Him. Will you do that? We're going to celebrate communion, and it's a time to do that.